Before we look at some scripture about fathers, I'm going to tell you one more little story. Because see, I got a lot of time this morning. The song leaders got done early, and I got some time, and I want to tell you a story, a real quick story of a young lady that came here last week. She came here. She parked down the way here, and she walked. Sherry and I saw her walking up here because it was between the services, and she was walking as if she was not sure she was at the right place. And she walked into the building, and she said, I'm not sure if I'm at the right place, but I'm looking for so-and-so. She didn't even know her first name. She just said, I'm looking for so-and-so. And I said, yeah, I think you're at the right place. And so Sherry took her downstairs, and she said to us, you know what? This is a lady, I suppose she was 20 or a little better. She said, you know what? I haven't been in church since I was 9. And after she came up from Sunday school, she was only down there 5-10 minutes and it was over. And she came up and she said to me, you know, Pastor, I haven't been in church a long time. Do you have a Bible? And so we do keep a case of brand new Bibles. And so I came and got her Bible and took it to her. And she sat right here in the third row. And you know, as God moved in people's hearts last week, and the Holy Spirit of God was moving in a mighty way last week, when we had an altar call after the second service, many, many people came forward, including this young lady that was sitting right here. She came up here and prayed with Pastor Les and Karen to receive Jesus Christ into her life, into her heart, and she left a changed woman. And so as I got to thinking about that day and that night, here was a young lady that came, let's use the word lost, okay? You know what I'm talking about. She didn't know if she was at the right place. She wasn't sure who she was looking for. She thought she knew. That person never did show up here, but she found Jesus. Isn't that just the way God works? So we give God the glory. We give God the glory, and sometimes we just got to give Him a hand, like you just did. This young lady, and there were several others that were here last week that gave their hearts to Jesus too. I just think that's just the heart of the Father. That's just the heart of the Father who was working on this young lady's heart. I think she said she had some kids too, didn't she, to home or something? But she came here looking for somebody, and she found Jesus. It don't get much better than that. And so I'm hoping and praying that she'll find her way back to whether that's this church or a church to worship the Heavenly Father and to grow in Him. And I just praise Him for stories like that. Well, let me talk about fathers for a few minutes. You know, on Mother's Day, I said that we would be addressing the heart of a father too. We address the heart of a mother on Mother's Day. And I said that we would be addressing the heart of a father today. And so that's what we're going to do. And you know, I heard David Jeremiah on Thursday of this week on Christian radio. He says, so oftentimes we get to Mom's Day and it's a lot of flowers and fluff and everything nice. He's talking from a pastor's perspective. And then we get to Father's Day and we blast them. We get on them for this and we get on them for that. And David Jeremiah said, but today, this was Thursday, he was talking about fathers. He said, today I'm not going to do that. And I'm here to tell you this morning, I'm not going to do that either. Because I think I've heard what he's talking about. I think I've heard that too. And we're not going to do that today, but we are going to take a look at a couple of illustrations from the Bible about the hearts of fathers and, of course, the heart of our Heavenly Father. And so turn with me to Luke 15, if you will. I know that you know this scripture. I know that you know these parables. And I know that we've probably even been over them in the last few months. But I want us to look specifically this morning at the heart of this Father. And so I don't know if we're going to see it on the big screen. Alas, we are going to see it on the big screen. So you can see it there, or you can see it in your Bible that you have, or the one right in front of you. And let me read for you, beginning with verse 11 from Luke 15. I think you know the story. It's called the parable of the lost son. Here we go. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of good that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent it all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. I don't know if that's what we call hitting rock bottom or not, but he was getting mighty close. But when he came to himself, the story goes on, and he said in his own thinking, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and yet I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Just make me a servant. At least I can eat again. And he rose and he came to his father. Now the story doesn't tell us how hungry he got, but I suspect he was starving. The story doesn't tell us exactly how much money he wasted or how long he was gone, but I suspect he wasted a lot of it, and I suspect he was gone a long time. And the Bible says, this is just really touches my heart, because it's not only the heart of the Heavenly Father, it can be the heart of us as dads and our fathers and men today. Here's what it says, and he rose and he came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, what does that imply to you? Dad was looking, but when he was a great way off, his father saw him. I don't know if he saw him on the third hill out or not. I don't know if he saw him down the road a half a mile or what. But the Bible says when this son came to his senses and he said in his heart, I'm just going to go and repent before my dad and just tell him, make me a servant, make me a hired hand, at least I can eat and live. And the Bible says, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. To me, that's forgiveness. His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and he kissed him. He embraced his son. And the son simply said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Dad didn't even answer. He just summoned the servants and he said, bring out the best robe. Bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring out the fatted calf here and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son, listen to what he says now. And this was his heart. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to make merry. Do you see the heart of this father? Yes, you say, Jim, well, this is a story about the Heavenly Father. Yes, it is. This is a story about the Heavenly Father and his grace that's extended to you and I. But it's also an example of a father, an earthly father, a dad, if you will. This is not just a story about a runaway boy. A runaway boy that finally comes home. This is not just a story about perhaps you'd call him a spoiled boy. Give me my goods, old timer. I'm out of here. It's not just a story about that. It's not just a story about an obedient boy who in time came to his senses, finally ran out of money, ran out of fun, ran out of girls, ran out of friends, ran out of food, and was beginning to starve to death and came to his right mind. This is a story about grace. The grace of our Heavenly Father, the grace of Almighty God, who does not look the other way. He does not turn his back when Jim or John or Joe or Judy comes walking up and say, Father, I have sinned. He doesn't turn his back like this dad could have and ignore the pleas of the hurting. Even though he knew in his mind, he knew that what happened over here in the land was against his training. He knew that what happened over here in this land was selfish and indulgent and quite without self-control. This is a story about the grace of Almighty God. That when we come to our senses at some point in time and say, Father, forgive me, I have sinned against you, I need you. He don't look the other way. His hand of grace is still reaching out. His hand of grace is still reaching regardless of what happened over here when we repent and come to the Father. And that's the example we dads can take from our Heavenly Father, that even though we have been hurt, perhaps by activities of our children, that's the example that we can take as fathers, to not turn our back in shunning or saying, I've washed my hands of you, boy, or kids, or girls, whatever, but in forgiveness and love and grace, receive them and rejoice like God did. Like the angels in heaven, this same chapter says, when somebody comes back to Jesus. You see, this is a story about grace. The grace of the God in heaven. The grace of our Father. There's a whole lot of dads today, and moms, of course, lamenting the fact that their children have run off to join the carnival, so to speak. Have run off into the world and found it more attractive over here and more tantalizing and more tempting and maybe even fun for a season. And there is dads lamenting today, and moms too, that their children are out there somewhere in the world. And in their hearts, these dads and moms are yearning for the return of their children to them and to Jesus. The dad in this story had to go back about daily living. He had his wife. He had other children. We know of one for sure. He had to go back about daily living because the rest of the family and his livelihood depended on him and his ability to keep things going in the right direction. But he never took his eyes off the road. You know why I know that? Because the Bible says while he was yet a great way off, his father saw him coming. He never gave up hope. He kept looking. He kept longing that someday, he kept praying, I believe, someday Junior, the second son, would come back. The dad in this story had to go back about daily chores, but he never kept longing for the day when maybe, just maybe, his child would come back home and, more importantly, would come home to Jesus. The heart of this father was praying for the lostness of this son. The heart of this dad and dads today continued to pray and long for this transformation that he says, that the words of this father, this my son was dead and is alive again. There are many a parent today who have seen their children do some things of the world that they would rather have not them go through the hurt and the torment and the toil and the anguish. There are many parents who are in anguish about the way their child has gone. But I submit to you today that this Father in heaven and this man in this story can be our example to keep looking to Him. Keep trusting the Father. This should be our example. This dad who never stopped longing for the wayward child to come home, never stopped praying for the child to come to Jesus, never stopped looking down the pathway in life for checking to see, I wonder if today, I know too many parents who are longing yet for their children to come home to Jesus. And I know too that there's the Christian argument that says, well, they should have raised them better. To that I say, let us be careful of what we say when we know how clever the adversary is. I still visit on a regular basis an 87-year-old lady. She's a dear, dear friend of mine. She was a mentor of mine. She was a pastor's wife. He's dead now. He's in heaven. But she's still on earth and she's still praying for her children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. She raised her kids in the drug-crazed, sex-crazed world of the 60s, and she watched her children, pastors' children, choose the world over Jesus. She watched him go to communes, hearing about drugs and orgies and every other thing, and she never ceased to pray for her children. They were raised in a Christian home. They were told about Jesus, and yet the adversary, remember we talked about that last week, is clever, is a liar, is a deceiver. She's 87 years old and still praying. I know enough parents who have been faithful to hold their children up in prayer through the decades, even while they were in the world. I know enough parents that have continued to take their children before the throne of God in prayer and seek God on their behalf. And so I just want to tell you, don't give up, dads and moms. Never give up. You see, friends, this is a story about people coming to Jesus, coming back to the Father through faith in Jesus. And quite frankly, I know many people choose never to do that. I know that. But we dads and moms, but we are called upon to hold up our children to Jesus in prayer. Even when they're old and left the home, left the nest, we are called to train up our children the way they should go. And so I just want to say to you dads and moms, don't give up. Keep looking down the pathway of life. Keep expecting God to answer your prayers. And let me say this, I know that not everybody here has had the chance to feel the loving and embracing of a loving Father. But know this, that God loves you. Jesus loves you so much he gave his life for you. Let me tell you a little story about David. And you don't have to turn there. You can if you want. But I'm just going to tell you the story really briefly. I think a lot of you know the story. You know about King David. You know about the rise of his sons. They're growing and they're maturing. I think you know about in 2 Samuel 15, King David's son Absalom decided, it's time for you to go, old man. It's time for me to come on the scene. And so there's a conspiracy from David's son Absalom to oust his father. And he did that. He run him off the throne. He run him out of town, so to speak. Entertained himself with David's concubines. And in 2 Samuel 17 and 18, fighting and war breaks out between dad and son and their armies. And in 2 Samuel 18, David, I'll read just a little bit. I'm going to skim over this. David numbered the people who were with him and set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them. Then David sent about one-third of the people under the hand of Joab, one-third under the hand of Abishai, and one-third under the hand of Ittai the Gittite. And the king said to the people, I will go out with you myself. He was going to war against his own son. But the people said, you will not go with us, for if we flee away, they will not care about us, nor if half of us die, will they care about us? But you are worth 10,000 of us, for you are now more help to us in the city. And so he talks to these leaders, these three leaders that have all the people divided up, and here's what he said in verse 5, deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom. This was his son. And even though these trained warriors knew in their minds what had to happen to the enemies, they'd done it 100 times already through David's war years. David's plea was, deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom. And so the people went to battle, it says in verse 6. And the battle was in the woods of Ephraim. The people of Israel were overthrown there with the servants of David, and a great slaughter of 20,000 took place there that day. And the battle there was scattered over the face of the whole countryside, and the woods, You may not have seen this or noticed it. The woods devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. Anyway, the battle ensued. People died, and Absalom, the Bible says, met the servants of David. Absalom was riding on a mule. The mule went under the thick boughs of a great terebinth tree, and his head caught in the terebinth so that he was still left hanging there between heaven and earth, and the mule which was under him went on. You can see the scene, a little fork in the tree. The mule runs under it. Apparently, Absalom's head is caught in the tree. The mule keeps going, and there he hangs, choking and hanging there and can't get down. Verse 14, Joab, famed leader of David, said, after having conversation between verses 10 and 13 with another person, "I cannot linger with you." And he took three spears in his hand, and he thrust them through Absalom's heart. While he was still alive in the midst of the terebinth tree, and 10 young men who bore Joab's armor surrounded Absalom and struck him and killed him. And the trumpet was blown, the war was ended, and people began to gather up. They said they took Absalom, laid him in a hole, and put a very large heap of stones over him. Verse 30, people are starting to come back, and the runners are coming back to the king with news. And the king said to the first runner, "Turn aside and stand here." So he turned aside and he stood still. Just then the Cushite came, and the Cushite said, "There's good news, my lord the king, for the Lord has avenged you this day of all those who rose against you." And the king said to the Cushite, "Is the young man Absalom safe, his son?" So the Cushite answered, "May the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise against you to do harm be like that young man." And David knew the fate of his son. The Bible said the king was deeply moved and went up to his chamber over the gate, and he wept. And as he went, he said thus, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son, my son Absalom, if only I had died in your place. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." You see the heart of this father? He simply said, "I'd take your place. I'd gladly have taken your place, my son." David's men were skilled, battle-hardened warriors. They knew what had to be done with the enemy, but this was the king's son, and he never forgot it. His son would have killed him if he'd had the chance, but David didn't forget this was his son, nor does your heavenly Father forget you, or forget us, or the foulest sinner in life. Oh, the heart of the Father should be first and foremost that our children know Jesus. That our children will know the Heavenly Father. Like the heart of a mother, the heart of the Father never stops praying for the return of their children to Jesus. And as I said before, I know there are 70-plus-year-old, there are 80-plus-year-old parents still praying for the salvation of their children. And again, I say, never give up. God is faithful. God is not willing that any should perish. And as we have seen in this story, God's so full of grace, we can't imagine it. He knew the things that this man had done, and yet he rejoiced when he saw him coming down the road, because he knew he's coming back to Jesus. Our Heavenly Father is longing for you, His child, to come home to Him too. If you've never come to Jesus, if you've never come back down the road and said, "Father, I have sinned against heaven, I have sinned against you," and invited Christ into your heart, He's still longing for you. He's still waiting. His hand of grace is still outstretched and longing and waiting for you to come home. And I'm gonna lead us in prayer in just a minute, but let me read you a little story that I got out of a book here in the library just the other day about the love of a father. His name was Graham Staines. Some of you have heard of this if you listened to Christian radio the last few years, because he was mentioned. Graham was raised in Queensland, Australia. He took his medical skills to a leprosy hospital in Orissa State, India. His wife was a nurse, and they had a daughter and two sons. Along with his medical work, Graham participated in evangelistic crusades, notably the Jesus film. We've heard of that, haven't we? He took the Jesus film and his campaign and his missions work into the predominantly Hindu area where they lived. In January 1999, Staines was conducting a five-day open-air evangelistic camp in Orissa, India. His sons, little Timothy 9 and Philip 7, were with him. A few days later, on January 23, 1999, after Graham and his boys had retired for the night into their station wagon, a group of militant Hindus attacked them with clubs and set fire to the vehicle. Trapped inside his car by the mob, the missionary Graham Staines died holding his boys in his arms while rescuers were unable to do anything about it because of the mob. Graham Staines had been working 34 years in India, and President of India, K.R. at the time, Narayanan, denounced the barbarous killings of Staines and his boys. Lepers at the hospital operated by Staines Evangelical Missionary Society buried the three victims 2 days after the killings. His widow, Gladys, and her daughter, Esther, consoled the mourners with their complete trust in God, and they sang this song, "There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one, no, not one," at their funeral. And so why do I tell you this story today? Because the heart of the Father, this Father, some of you have been there and you've seen hurt, you've seen anguish, you haven't had to hold your arms in your son as they died by the Hindu mobs, but you have been through some difficulties, and I want you just to remember that the heart of the Heavenly Father never stops reaching for you. The heart of our Heavenly Father is so filled with love and grace, He wants you to come. He wants you to come to Him and receive Him and say like this boy in Luke 15, "Father, I've sinned against you, I need you." The heart of God doesn't give up on you. He doesn't turn His back and say, I'm not going to be responding to your pleas of repentance. The grace of God is still reaching for you, no matter what your life has been. And that is our example, dads, to have that kind of a heart for our children, our grandchildren, our neighbor's children, the heart of the Father that's full of grace and love and mercy that'll say, "I'm still ready when you're ready to come home." Let's bow in prayer today. Let's close our eyes, bow our hearts. And if the Heavenly Father is calling your heart today, He's tapping on your heart's door, just slip your hand up and down so we can pray together. Thank you. Sit them down. We'll continue to ask, is there anybody that Jesus is knocking on your heart's door today? His love is just so wonderful. It's so readily available. He wants us to make a new person, and we are a new person when we say, "Lord Jesus, I need you." And so I'm going to say a little prayer, and God knows if you raised your hand today, and so you just repeat this to yourself. God hears you. Heavenly Father, I have sinned against you. I'm coming home to you. I need Jesus. I desire Jesus to be my Savior, and I invite Him into my life today. Thank you, Father, for loving me, for saving me, and calling me your child. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this time that we have had to be reminded of your great love, your grace, your mercy that endures forever. Thank you for dads all over the congregation today. Thank you for men that are not dads yet, but maybe someday. Help them, Father, to have the heart of Almighty God that's patient and loving and compassionate and kind and longing for their children to know Jesus. Thank you for dads and moms both. We don't exclude moms. It takes dad and mom to have children, and we thank you for both. I just pray that our heart today, Father, is like your heart. Loving, compassionate. Thank you, Father, for being so patient with us, so loving to us when we're unlovable. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for salvation today that has come to hearts today as people have raised their hand today. The angels in heaven rejoice again because of people coming home to Jesus. We pray in his precious name. Amen.